Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hour number three, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. Don't you love game sevens? I mean, they are just so much fun, so much tension, so much anxiety. Oh, yeah.
How many times are you going to throw up tomorrow?
I don't think I will.
What? It's game seven.
I have gone through my life thinking that any day I don't throw up is a good day.
Yeah. How many good days have you had?
More than bad.
Not enough.
Thank God.
No, this is going to be great. What's crazy about this series is the home team has not had an advantage. They've alternated wins through the six games. Both Toronto and Boston is 2-1 on the other team's ice. So things are actually lining up for the Maple Leafs until you throw in their history. Especially game sevens in Boston don't typically go very well for the Maple Leafs. But, I mean, this thing is lining up. Now, I know on Friday, so we've had two games really to look back on and talk about. But on Friday, the Bruins came out. Didn't seem like they had a ton of life.
No, not
in that
at
game.
All.
And that was shocking. You have a 2-2 series. You're at home. We both said the winner of game five wins the series. And they looked dead for like a couple of periods. And then a controversial goal. Which the Maple Leafs got the benefit of. That was a frustrating one.
By the way, Austin Matthews, who scored the controversial goal, has been great.
He is a beast, huh?
He's got five goals in the last four games or something.
He is quite good. But I look at it where the right now the Bruins are in such a weird spot where they could either be bounced in the first round or they could have home ice in the Stanley Cup final. When you see Tampa being out, Calgary being out, all these teams that are out of there, the winner of this series is in such a great spot, I think, going forward. I know Columbus looked really good against Tampa Bay, but the Bruins would have home ice. They're the best team left in the playoffs, but they're on the ropes.
Want the good news or the bad news?
Of course, the good news, Dale.
Well, the good news is the Bruins are practicing.
Is that really good?
Well, the bad news...
they made it back from Toronto,
The bad news is David Krejci is not.
What's that?
Hello?
Why?
We don't know yet because...
Just take a rest, maybe.
Bruce Cassidy will talk to the media afterwards.
Yeah.
I'm kind of counting on it being one of those maintenance days. I hope that it's a maintenance day, and I would expect that that's what it is.
Yeah. I mean, all these guys are hurt
Chara
anyway,
and
right?
McAvoy are practicing.
Yeah, that's weird.
And
hopefully just kind
Paige
of...
played over 9 minutes in the third period of yesterday's game.
I was gonna say, hopefully just kind of slowly. Let those guys... I can't imagine the practice is all that difficult.
No. They're not doing battle drills or anything like that. My guess is tomorrow's pregame skate will be a totally optional. And, I'm going to guess that when Cassidy speaks to the media after practice, in fact, he just did.
Oh, okay.
Maintenance day. He's fine for tomorrow, says Bruce Cassidy. And in which case, good job, Bruce.
Well,
You
talk about how intense game seven is. I would say most of the third period yesterday had the same vibe to it because the Bruins were up a goal. And Toronto seemed to have complete control. Now, they actually didn't take that many shots in the third period. It felt like they controlled the third period. They just didn't generate any chances. But I just kept waiting for Toronto to tie the game, and there was going to be overtime yesterday. But it didn't happen. So, you know, give the Bruins credit for being able to hold on to the victory. But I don't know. What's your confidence level right now in Game 7?
I feel great about Game 7.
You do?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Based off what?
The way they played yesterday.
What about the way they played? They haven't really gone back to back.
The most recent example I have is yesterday's, and they responded to what was a subpar performance on Friday, and they had a players-only meeting. They made a determined effort that they were not going to have. Brad Marchand especially is not ready for this season to be over.
No.
He's been very vocal about that.
But they've also responded well after losses. They haven't really followed up wins very well in the series. And you could, I guess, make the same case for Toronto because neither team has won two in a row in the series. But home ice should fill me with a lot of confidence, but in this series, it doesn't really matter. Like, if they get out to a slow start, you wouldn't think, there's no way they can get out to a slow start to game seven. I don't know. Game five was pretty important. Series was tied 2-2, and they were just kind of going through the motions.
The Twitter site Boston Sports Info that we quote from time to time because they do a really good job. They've got interesting stuff. They point out today that Boston teams all made the playoffs seven times in the same season. In other words, Patriots, Celtics, Bruins, Red Sox,
Revs.
All made the playoffs. Well, they didn't say the Revs, but all made the playoffs seven times in the same season. However, all four teams have never all won at least one playoff round in the same season, but that could change tomorrow night. If the Bruins win, for the first time ever, you would have all four teams win at least a playoff round.
So like the 2018 season, right?
18-19,
when they all were, and then when
baseball
they
going into football, Celtics and Bruins.
Interesting. Yeah, that's good.
That would also theoretically keep alive the idea, as they point out, the Boston Slam.
The Boston Slam. That's what we're going for.
I'm not sure anybody expects any Boston Slam, but
and more nights in the quad box, Dale. I need more nights in the quad box. I need the Red Sox on with the Celtics and with the Bruins and a mystery fourth game. That's what I need.
Well, and it's been your Jeopardy guy, too, right?
Holy smokes. The Jeopardy guy, you can't lose. This guy's incredible. So tonight, 7:30, he's back on.
Appointment viewing.
It absolutely is appointment viewing. I love this guy.
Major topic at the Easter dinner.
I bet it is. There's a lot of buzz about this guy. His 12-day total, $851,926.
Good Lord.
Playing Jeopardy. It's amazing to watch him operate, too. He just takes all the big money.
So are you rooting for him, or are you rooting against him?
Yes. No, he's like the Tiger Woods effect. I root for him. I want to see how much money he can make.
Give it another week or two, then Keefe's going to turn.
No, that's not true. And
you
then I also
see
like,
him fail.
I like his mannerisms. I like when like say he has like $9,000.
He's a little cocky, isn't he?
Yeah, he's like all of it. He's like $9,000. Yeah. Like he's just like very dismissive of it. You're like, whoa. Or when he has like the really obscure wagers where they'd be like $8,114, and then Trebek goes, okay. Like, he's just like, you kidding me? But he's like, fine. And then they just rip through it. So that's at 7:30. So that's fantastic. Good, because we need something tonight besides the Red Sox. So yesterday, Dale, on Twitter, this is, you know, these Twitter polls, they're very popular with the kids. I said, because these were all on Sunday, but they staggered them. So really, I ended up watching all of these. But the question was, if you could only watch one of these, which would it be? And this was the order in which they started. Celtics Pacers Game 4. Red Sox Rays, Bruins Leafs Game 6, Game of Thrones Episode 2. The voting has been complete.
Bruins, I would assume, would have
55% said Bruins, which makes sense. It's an elimination game. 25% said Game of Thrones. 15% said Celtics. And 5%, maybe fat fingers on the old cell phone, said Red Sox Rays. In fact, I got one guy that responded and said, didn't mean to vote for Red Sox. I slipped. So even their 5% might be a little inflated.
Sorry, I have fat fingers.
Because it was in between Celtics and Bruins, so it might have been a Bruins pick that ended up going with the Sox there. But yeah, I mean, that game was clearly, of all the sports games, was far and away the most important. I mean, it was an elimination game. That could have been the last time we saw them.
When you get a chance to be knocked out or advance, like tomorrow night will be another huge game.
Yeah. Meanwhile, what will be different is, and I don't think it'll ever, actually it could line up this way. Well, no, probably not, because the Celtics are going to take forever. But let's say it was Game 5 Celtics, Game 5 Bruins, and both series are 2-2 in the second round. Then I think it's going to be much tougher. Because all the times that they've played before, with the exception of Game 1, the Bruins have been further in their series, and there was doubt.
More on the line.
Yeah, I mean, the Celtics, even though, again, some of the games were close with the Pacers, they just swept them. And I think a big part of it, too, is the Pacers don't have anybody that you get excited to watch. There's no LeBron effect. I think next round there will be a Giannis effect. I think you're going to want to see Giannis play. Even in the round after that, you might want to see Kawhi Leonard play. Whereas the Pacers, not a lot of Bogdanovich fans out there, so I don't think people really care about Indiana. Plus, there was never any doubt. They were never up against it like the Bruins were in this last game.
It's pretty unusual to have all three teams playing on the same day.
Yeah.
Chad Finn tweeted out a photograph that a guy had done the research. The Bruins, Celtics, and Sox have all played on the exact same day only 16 times since 2001.
I feel like it happened a couple times last year, because was it last year or the year before, I think, is when I invented the quad box. Nobody was doing that, and I started doing it. And
Happened once last year.
Okay. Well, I definitely did it for that game. There's probably Twitter proof.
Celts beat Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. Bruins lost to Tampa Bay. Red Sox beat Kansas City, all on April 30th of last year.
Pretty good. And so if the Bruins can beat if they can win tomorrow, it'll probably happen again. Right? I mean, you would think the Bruins are going
to
play four more games.
The Red Sox are in the midst of this stretch of 20 games in 20 days.
They played nonstop. Right.
You know, assuming that they get to play tonight. So that Boston parlay that you were talking about.
Yeah, it hit.
So it's happened 16 times, as we said, that all three have played on the same day since 01. Five times has the Boston parlay come through.
Ooh, somebody's always letting you down. It was the Red Sox the first couple of times, but yesterday they pulled it off, all three of them. Never any doubt, as Matt Barnes is serving up a tater in the eighth inning or seventh or eighth inning, whatever it was. But yeah, the little signs of life from the Red Sox. Although, yeah. So it's like good and bad. Like when they play well, we're still focused on the other teams. Then when they play poorly, it's like, well, I guess that's good.
They'll be the only team to look at the time.
Right.
I do feel, you know, that I understand why you'd say, why would you think that the Bruins are going to win. I think they figured something out finally. I cannot picture them in back-to-back home games coming out flat. Now, you'll remember in game one, they didn't come out and play great. Not badly, but not great.
Game two,
they played great.
House of fire. Yeah, they're ready to go.
You know, game five, not good at all. Flat.
Now,
and now game seven coming up tomorrow night.
And you think there's more pressure on Toronto, which I find surprising, because I think...
I just think the pressure there is beyond belief.
But even going into a series where Boston has home ice, the Bruins had a better record in the regular season, they even beat you in the playoffs a year ago, I think it's the Bruins, and I also think when you...
You know what I think takes some of the pressure off? And not that they don't feel pressure internally. You've got all this other stuff. You've got a World Series championship. You've got a Super Bowl championship. You've got the Celtics now in the second round of the playoffs. As disappointing as it would be for Bruins fans, in Toronto, you've got a Raptors team that's really good, but the Maple Leafs haven't won a playoff series.
But team-wise, yeah, you're right. I think the Maple Leafs fans are hungrier or thirstier, if you will, than the Bruins fans are. There is so much. We'll easily just pivot to the Celtics run, and we'll pivot to the Red Sox season, the NFL draft. There's a lot of things to get our interest. I just think the season that they had and the group that they have had, it's been a long time since they've won a couple of rounds in the playoffs. And we felt really good about this team. You picked them to win the cup at the beginning of the playoffs. And that was before you knew Tampa was out.
Yep.
So I think they have to get out of the first round this year.
Tampa was going
to
lose in the first round in four straight. No, I did not.
No, of course not. But here they are. And because if they lose, now you're talking about first or second round exits or just missing the playoffs altogether in the last 6 years. You're saying, all right, well, are you just going to bring the same team back again next year? Or what's the point of that? So I think there's so much at stake in the game tomorrow. Like, I don't know what kind of roster moves they can make, but they're going to have to do something if they keep getting bounced out early.
In Toronto, they already know, even if they win and continue to advance,
they're going to have issues.
They've got huge issues up there as far as roster makeup is concerned and payroll and all of that stuff. The Bruins don't have those issues. In fact, you know, their core is together here for the foreseeable future.
But that's my question is, do you want to bring back a core that keeps losing in the first round or even in the second round? So what a difference it makes if they're able to advance and then maybe they even beat Columbus or they at least have a hard fought out series with Columbus, then you feel a lot better. But this kind of season, and I wouldn't look at it and say, well, Tampa lost in the first round, Pittsburgh lost in the first round, Calgary, so hey, it happens. I would just take this team individually and say, no, they can't lose in the first round. That is a failure of a season. Like it would have been for the Celtics. Had the Celtics lost in the first round, disaster of a season. But they went out there and just smacked around the Pacers pretty good.
And as you go forward, don't you readjust your expectations? Like in the Celtics case now, going into the first round, you know, you thought they'd win, but
it'd be
a struggle.
Yeah,
you know, they'd have some issues, especially playing in Indiana. So now you adjust your expectations somewhat, although...
Yes.
You're also looking at a team that you think is a wagon that they would be playing in the second round.
Yeah, Milwaukee should wrap up their series tonight, and I think it's going to be tough for the Celtics to do. Again, not having home court advantage like they had in the Indiana series, but also the Pacers just don't have anybody to go to in a close game. The Pacers, they had the lead for a good amount of the series. If you go back in the four games, and I think they were talking about it on the broadcast, it'd be tough to find a team that got swept out of the playoffs that held the lead as long as they did, or for as much time as they did. Even second half, they had the lead a lot, and yet they would just fall apart in the fourth quarter, or they would have, you know, an 8-point third quarter, or they were just a mess, which I don't think that kind of, you know, group that would fall apart, I don't think you see that in Milwaukee. I think their team is too talented for something like that. So the challenge is much more increased once they get to the second round.
617-779-7937. Let's get back to the calls with you guys. Seth is in Portland. Hey, Seth, how you doing?
Good. How about you guys?
Good. Doing great.
Just curious on a couple things. Just curious on your take on some of the players. It seems like some of them just sort of disappear from game to game. I think DeBrusk had a great game the other day, but at times, again, it just sort of seems like a couple of games ago, looking around, like, is he even on the ice, or is he, injured? Just sort of curious of your guys' take. Again, it just seems like sometimes some games the passes are on, and then, again, 2 days ago, I guess it's just one game, but, like, passes are behind people or way ahead. It looked like they were skating into one another.
I think part of the problem for Game 5, and Marchand talked about it after Game 6 yesterday, the ice was so bad here on Friday night that the passing was just, it was almost doomed to fail to begin with, which was frustrating Cassidy because he was, after the game, was saying, instead of worrying about making these great passes and these great plays, shoot the puck. It's exactly what they did yesterday. Torrey Krug had 9 shots on goal last night.
Right.
Yesterday. You know, they had 41 shots on goal in the game. Stop trying to make these razzle-dazzle, tape-to-tape jobs, especially if you think the ice is bad. Go to the net, shoot, go to the net, make the aggressive play, and then worry about rebounds and redirects and things like that.
I think DeBrusk could have been hurt, too. And I think it's one of those things where most guys are, and at the end of every playoff run, they always give you the list, and you're like, oh, my God, this guy had what? And you're like going through. But that's for both teams. But looking at some of the hits that DeBrusk took, I don't think he's 100%. I'm surprised he didn't miss any games, but he finally gets his first goal.
I'm shocked Krug didn't miss a game. Shocked DeBrusk didn't miss a game.
Right.
And, as we've gotten further and further away from that game and those hits, maybe they're feeling better and better.
Yeah.
Torrey Krug scored last night, as we said, had 9 shots. DeBrusk had a goal, beautiful tip goal on a Krejci feed.
Yeah.
Maybe that was part of it.
What do you think? Obviously, the lines have been a really big topic of conversation throughout this series. How do you think they've settled
in? I like the way they've, and I was against it.
Right.
I wanted them to keep Pastrnak with Bergeron and Marchand for much of the year. Barry Peterson and I would have this argument all the time. I liked the fact that they were the best line in hockey. I gave in before Game 5 and said, okay, it's time to shuffle them up here. I think Heinen's done a really nice job with Bergeron and Marchand. I think that, now he's also messing around even within the reconfigured lines.
Oh, yeah.
He's double-shifting Pastrnak at times. He's trying to make it tougher on Mike Babcock to do any matching up.
Yeah, no, and I think that, if anything, I think Cassidy waited too long to do it. I think it was Game 3, third period, or whatever it was. I thought there was an opportunity to do it, and he didn't. I just think whoever you bring up with Bergeron and Marchand, that player kind of fits in. They're not as good as Pastrnak, but they fit in, and they're better than wherever they were before. And then you hope that Krejci, DeBrusk, Pastrnak, that can be another reliable scoring line. You know, if you look at what Toronto does, they break up some of their best guys. Like, they don't have their 3 best forwards all on the same line.
Right.
And so it's just more difficult, like, for Toronto to try to match up, whether they're at home or on the road. It doesn't matter. It's just tougher.
617-779-7937. Scott's in Leominster. Hey, Scott.
Oh, thanks for taking my call. Dale, I want to just touch on a point you made about 5 or 10 minutes ago where
yes.
you said that there'd be less pressure on Toronto.
No, I said really... more pressure on Toronto.
Okay, good. Well, because I think there's more pressure on Boston for the reason of 2 other teams just won championships and possibly a 3rd going to the championship, and you're odd man out again. And this has happened a few times since 2000, when we've had all these championships. The Bruins are out playing golf when everyone else is winning championships, and I think that they could feel that. They might not say it, but what do you think about that?
I think that it's just hard for us here, and you probably know if you follow the game, it's hard for people to understand the pressure that's on the Maple Leafs in Toronto. And now especially, Calgary's out, Winnipeg's out. There's only one Canadian team left in the Stanley Cup playoffs, And it's this team, a team, by the way, that's hated all across Canada, yeah, outside
like
of Ontario.
Forced to root for them now.
And I, the overwhelming, the media scrutiny, it's hard for people to understand. Look, there's a lot of media scrutiny around the teams in this town. It pales in comparison to what it's like up there.
I just think
they still have the Raptors, though, too, right? They're still alive.
They got the Raptors.
Well, they got the Raptors, but it's also, I mean, let's be honest.
They do care about the Raptors,
they
though.
Do, they but do, but not as much as
well,
the
no,
Leafs.
The Maple Leafs are obviously the team. But I don't know, I just think anytime, like barring a team having a huge lead, like a 3-0 lead or a 3-1 lead, and all of a sudden there's a game seven, I just look at whoever the better team is, there probably should be more pressure on them because I think more people pick them to win. Like Vegas picked the Bruins to win. I think most NHL experts picked them to win the series, whether it was 4, 5, 6, 7 games. They're expected to win and to move on. And I think if you also toss in some of the recent, I know Toronto's had plenty of failures as well, but this group, the Bruins have had together for a little while, and their
Game 7 experience against the Bruins is a soap opera.
Yeah, it is. Now, there's some turnover there, right? So not all those guys have lived it. The fans clearly have, and a few of the players have. But, the Bruins have definitely had the edge there.
Bob's in Wilmington. Hey, Bob.
Morning, boys.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, great job by the Bees yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Hopefully they bring it again tomorrow. Mm-hmm. But is anybody else nervous every time Chara grabs the puck and tries to dump it up the boards?
Nervous?
I'm just wondering how many penalty minutes he has on delay of game penalties.
For the year? I don't know. he had the one yesterday, and there was some argument about whether it should have been or not. I think it should have been. I know that Bruce was making the point that the puck was here on the bench. Here it is.
Right.
But it had gone over the glass on its way to the bench, and I think they got the call right. I think it should have been and was called delay of game. I think it's in his head, to be honest with you.
Right, right. It just seems like every time he turns in the corner to dump it up the boards, I just cringe and say, no!
Yeah, look, it has driven some people a little nuts, and I understand it.
Yeah. He was really upset about it, huh? Jeez.
Well, we need to...
I don't get nervous when Chara has the puck, but maybe I should.
Maybe you need to rethink some of your some of your thoughts.
Dump it up the boards. I just cringe and say, no.
I don't do that. But we've got Bruins Leafs Game 7 tickets that we're going to be giving away in just a few minutes. We get right back to your calls in just a couple of minutes as well. But before we do all of that.
Oh, here we go.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Where do you come down on Tuukka?
I compare him to other goalies in the National Hockey League, and when I see him make some of his saves at times, there's other ones that make it because they're bigger. The puck just hits them because of their size, maybe their positioning. So everything that we do is by comparables. So when you say, where do you compare Tuukka, it's hard. For the playoffs, I think it might have been the last weekend, and there was a goal that just he let in from the blue line. It was a wrist shot. It was kind of a flare skating left to right, an innocent wrist shot that just beat him glove side. Now, I know mentally he's not there because the team's kind of already in, it's set, but it was just one of those moments that adds to the questionability about him. When he's on, he's on. It's like anybody else. The only problem is with the goalie. If he's off by an inch that day, it's a big difference because he doesn't have the size of a Bishop, of a Vasilevsky, as a Carey Price.
He didn't sound like he was a wholehearted, full-throated endorsement of Tuukka Rask.
He does not like Tuukka Rask at all. Like, listen to that answer. And then there's actually a little bit more because I kind of press him on it because just listening to it, I'm like, you don't like him. Just say you don't like him. It sounds like you don't trust him.
I don't want to say I don't trust him because that's not fair.
Oh, we're on the radio. You can say whatever you want. That's fine.
Yeah, I'm trying. It's Easter weekend. I'm trying to be as nice as I possibly can. You know what? He's not as convincing as other goalies. How about that? If I'm going to pick guys, he's on my list, but not near the top.
How long's your list? So PJ Stock, who covers the NHL, played in the NHL, covers the NHL. he was trying to talk his way around it. But a lot of times we'll ask somebody about Tuca, and they'll say, you can win with Tuca. And that's kind of it. He was like, well, you compare him to some other guys. It's not really fair. And, you know, he's fine, basically, is what he was getting at.
I know.
And I think they should have the goalie advantage in this series. Just overall, take their careers, take the season, take their playoff careers, all of it. Tuca v. Frederik Andersen should be advantage Tuca. But watching the series, doesn't it feel like more of a wash? I don't know if you'd give the advantage in the series to one or the other.
They're even.
They're pretty damn close, right?
Yeah.
I think the save percentage might be in favor of Andersen, but not by a whole lot.
Because he faces a ton of shots and has all year long.
Right. So I feel like Tuca, not as big of an advantage. And then in the next round, if they're able to advance, I don't think that the Bruins would have the advantage there.
A texter says, I'm a Bruins fan living in Niagara Falls. I get the Toronto radio stations here. Trust me, the pressure on the Leafs is insane. It's basically a provincial holiday whenever the Leafs play a playoff game. It is hard for us here, and you know we kind of live and die by our sports teams around here anyway, but what it's like in Montreal around the Canadiens and in Toronto around the Leafs is just so far beyond what we experience here.
But whose team is better? What's the better team?
Well, I think the Bruins are a better team.
Yeah, so I think that. So it's one thing for an obsessed fan base. Like, okay, I get that. But as far as the team and what it means, the Bruins should win this series. So if they
I think the fact, though, that Toronto could have clinched everything on home ice yesterday and coughed up another fur ball, just I think the pressure's on them more. I understand the argument completely.
Right.
The Bruins are supposed to be the better team. They were favored in the series.
Home ice?
They've got home ice. That's what you played all season long for, was to get this game here tomorrow. And you add to that, not that the Bruins or the players or the coaches should think in these terms, but the way the playoffs are shaking out here,
it's open.
You've got home ice through the Stanley Cup final if you can keep playing that long.
Crazy. Yeah, that's where they're at right now. I went from thinking, well, you got to play the Golden State Warriors in round two, to now you have the best record left of all the teams that are still playing. So yeah, I think both fan bases obviously are expecting to win, and there's a lot of pressure on both of them. And Toronto, it is the team, like they are obsessed. They've been dying for a win. They get John Tavares. You're thinking this could be the year they break through. But even going into the series, they had the third best record in the division. So yeah, it'd be a shame, and it'd be another year of frustration. But I feel like more of the letdown would come on the Bruins' end after a 107-point season. And they're pretty damn healthy, too. Like, they had a lot of injuries throughout the year. And with the exception of Kevin Miller, the lineup that they put out tomorrow night is the lineup that they want to put out there. So this isn't like a couple of years ago when they lost to Ottawa and they didn't have any defensemen. You know, or they, you know, even Carlo last 2 years, they haven't had Carlo. This team is pretty much at full strength. And if you lose in the first round, what do you do? What do you bring the same team back the next year? That doesn't sound right.
Through six games, Frederik Andersen has a 2.7 goals against average. Tuukka Rask has a 2.54. It's, you know, there's not a whole lot to be.
Save percentage, I think, is Andersen has the slight edge.
Frederik Andersen is at 925. Tuukka Rask is at 921.
Yeah, so slight edge.
I mean, they've basically been about the same.
It's been about a wash. And again, I don't think through six games, neither goaltender has won a game for a team, and I don't think either goaltender has lost a game. Like, there's been some good saves, like, for both guys. Like, there's been, you know, maybe Frederik Andersen pulls one out of his hat, or Tuukka Rask, you know, makes a great stop. But overall, I think they've both been good. Like, above average to good.
They have not been the issue.
No, not at all.
When their teams lose.
No.
Frederik Andersen was certainly not the issue for Toronto yesterday. In fact, you could make an argument, if it wasn't for him, it could have been a blowout.
Right.
Tuukka has not been the issue in the three games that the Bruins have lost in this series, at least in my opinion.
No, I agree.
I know what the narrative is around here. I mean, if you wanted to say what individual player has the most pressure tomorrow, you'd say Tuukka, except he doesn't seem to feel it.
No, he doesn't. And I just think the way the series has gone, you know, Brad Marchand has four goals in the six games. David Pastrnak has two goals, but it came in one game. He had both those goals. You know, if if they, it's, it might just come down to game seven, right? Like, I think so, well, obviously who wins the series, but my point is, like, who is to blame or who gets credit come down to who shines or who falters in game seven, because things have been so close and it's been a back and forth series. You know, no team can really pull away, that the GOAT of the series might just be whoever takes a bad penalty or whoever, you know, has a particularly poor game, rather than looking at what they did in the first six games. We're just going to single out what they did or what they do tomorrow night.
By the way, we've given away the tickets.
So stop calling.
Stop calling the contest line. Well, that's harsh.
Sorry. We have Red Sox tickets to give away probably on Thursday.
Thursday we'll give away tickets.
So if you're in the giving mood or the receiving mood.
And if the Bruins can win tomorrow night, we will likely continue to give away Bruins playoff
very
tickets
generous
moving forward.
Of us, very
but
generous.
But we've given
of
away
us
the tickets for today.
Yeah,
so
knock it off.
Those of you who... Really?
Sorry, too much. Is it too much? Taking it back. Call in, talk to Scheim. He'll tell you you haven't won.
Scheim will tell you. Yeah. He's got such a nice way about him, too. I'm
he is
sure
a he's a nice guy. He's going to... Actually, next guy that calls in on the contest line, go full ASMR on him.
Okay. Well, Jason already yelled at me once for being too loud.
Oh.
So I guess I'll go...
He's too loud?
Scheim is very loud.
Screams a little bit.
Just when he answers the phone.
That's fine.
Just a happy guy.
Yeah, that's all it is.
Trying to do some stuff back here.
Well, I know, but
screaming.
Okay, he's got a passion for his job. Is that a problem? It should
sure
be.
If you want to go with its passion. Take it.
Well, it's a passion.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Tim's in Quincy. Hey, Tim.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
What's good going on?
Nothing. So what I was going to say is I don't think Giannis is the best player in the NBA. He can't shoot. He's not good at shooting. Durant is by far the best player in the NBA.
What do you mean by far? He's by far the best player in the NBA?
Yes, by far. He can shoot. He can dribble. He can play defense. He does everything great. He's by far the best player in the NBA.
Well, I don't know how much defense he plays, but I would say Giannis is pretty good. For a guy who can't shoot, he scores 28 a game. That's pretty good.
So I want to make a point, and I want Boston media to point it out. I want Boston radio to point it out. I think, personally, Giannis travels constantly, and he fouls about 12 times a game.
Well, they don't call either one, so he's playing by his rules, I guess.
They're trying to give him the LeBron treatment, but he's won nothing. So what I want Boston media, Boston radio to point out, as Celtics stations, is that he travels, is that he gets fouls. We need to point it out. In Milwaukee, for Celtics, last game in Milwaukee.
He's got long strides, Tim.
Six free throws.
He's got super long strides.
Six free throws. In Milwaukee, they shot six free throws. They lost by 1 point.
This guy's already lobbying the officials before the start of
the
game.
Thanks for the call, Tommy.
That's what you should be doing.
Thanks for the call, Tommy.
Boston radio. You're Boston media.
So why should we be doing it?
That's what I want you to do.
Why?
Do you think sometimes the Celtics don't go to the free throw line because they don't attack the basket?
Wait. It's our job to help the Celtics win?
I think Celtics shoot as much threes as Milwaukee. And I think the Celtics shot six free throws in Milwaukee, and they lost by one.
Because they were attacking the basket like crazy. So you think
Giannis travels or Giannis fouls?
Yeah, because the league really wants Milwaukee to go on.
I'm not saying that they want Milwaukee to go on.
So what are you saying?
Giannis gets away with some calls. And in the playoffs, that shouldn't happen. In the regular season, whatever happens.
Kyrie gets away with calls. They all do. He's a superstar. Just like Kyrie.
Giannis earns his free throws. That's what I'm saying. Right? I'm talking about on defense when he fouls people. I'm talking about when you travel.
Oh, my God. Right? Can we at least let the games happen first? You're like, you're complaining about a game that hasn't even taken place
yet.
Did
you not watch the season? Did you not watch the game in Milwaukee?
No, I didn't watch a single game.
No.
What I'm trying to explain to you
Is that Giannis... So now you're complaining about a game from, what, January? Like, what are you talking about?
It was actually February, and it was a big game, and they lost by a point, and they only got six free throws.
Yeah, just think, had they won that game, they could have been the one seed.
The series coming up that's in the future. You know, it's only going to be a few days away.
You're insufferable.
I want Boston media, Boston radio to point it out.
You're
so high.
You're insufferable.
I'm not such an insufferable person for pointing that out.
You are insufferable.
Tim, why are you so adamant about Boston radio doing this?
Because who else is going to do it?
Good point.
You.
That's all there is. There's us.
I mean, you guys have a platform that you can point
out.
To
talk about travels and free throws.
To talk about their best player getting away with calls during the playoffs.
Not just their best player, the league's best player.
All the best players get away with that.
Yeah.
Everybody does if you're a best player. 617-779-7937.
That was hard to hear.
Easy now.
That was hard.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WE.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
EI.
Craig, we've got a pair of Game 7s on tap on Tuesday. So upon further review, if the Toronto Maple Leafs' dismal penalty kill is their number one concern against the Bruins, what's number two?
I think it has to be number 16 and number 91, Mitch Marner and John Tavares. They haven't scored since Game 1, and they only have one assist each in the past three games. We have seen how Brad Marchand, Bergeron, Krejci, DeBrusk have stepped up. It's really an important time now for Marner and Tavares to deliver offensively.
I think the Maple Leafs' number two concern is number 63 from the Bruins, Brad Marchand. With all due respect to Austin Matthews and the beast mode that he's been on in this series of late, Brad Marchand has been this series' best player, 9 points so far. He's the guy that the Toronto Maple Leafs have to find a way to slow down.
TSN up in Toronto, breaking down the issues for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Again, giving credit to the Boston Sports Info website, they've got a couple of numbers that they've broken down. This is Bruins players in Game 7s. For instance, Patrice Bergeron has played in 10 Game 7s.
Okay.
And he's 5-5 in those 10 games, by the way. But in the 10 games, he's got 5 goals, 4 assists, 9 points, and is plus 6.
Okay.
David Krejci has played in 9 Game 7s. No goals, 8 assists, 8 points, plus 5. And I'll just give you Brad Marchand, who's 5-2 in Game 7s.
There we go.
7 games, 3 goals, 4 assists, 7 points, plus 8. Now, that's the good news. If you don't want to feel very confident...
Oh, no, don't do this. What do you got?
Tuukka Rask has played in 4 Game 7s in his career.
How's he doing?
He's got a 2-2 record.
Okay.
A 3.72 goals against average.
Nope.
An .845 save percentage.
Don't like that.
Not what you're looking for.
That's like PJ Stock. If he heard that, he'd be like, I told you.
And as I said, if you picked an individual player who might have the most pressure on him,
Tuukka.
It might be Tuukka Rask.
Tuukka. Because, again, the goalie does get blamed for losses, certainly more so than any other player. But now you're starting to add up some more games to him. And, again, I don't know how fair it is to go back to, you know, the Flyers series when they had a 3-0 lead and how much you want to put on Tuukka or not, or the Blackhawks series or whatever.
Well, that was Game 6.
Right.
He didn't get to Game 7
But I'm just saying, like, we would look at him and the failures in the playoffs. So not even Game 7, I don't care what Game 5 even last year against Tampa, whatever. Those losses, because you can point to Tuukka and say, well, look at the goals against in the playoffs. Look at the save percentage in the playoffs. And they're pretty good. But now you're going to have more and more big games where he wasn't able to come through for you. So that would be kind of hard to argue against.
Sean Corrali was asked after practice today about slew footing from the Toronto Maple Leafs. He says, yeah, we've noticed it for sure. And obviously the Nordstrom one was the worst because they get a power play. But hey, it's the playoffs. I'm sure we're doing stuff they don't like to.
Yeah. That's how it goes.
And if you follow me on Twitter, I put a screen grab up of the Dermott slew foot of Nordstrom, where it's clear what he did. He kicks the legs out from behind, the legs out from under Nordstrom. As he's falling backwards, his stick comes up, hits Dermott, high, no doubt about that. But the only penalty that gets called on the play is the high sticking minor to Nordstrom.
I mean, because there's been so much attention on that, and I know when Don Cherry had his slew-footing little seminar, that was prior to this game. But now that it's been more of a discussion, don't you think that it's going to be harder to get away with that? Like, the refs might say, hey, we're just doing our job. We don't listen to the outside stuff. But they do. Just like when coaches get on them, they kind of, they'll look for certain calls. So that you would hope that if something like that happens in Game 7, they would actually finally get the call right.
617-779-7937. Bill's up in Maine. Hey, Bill.
Yeah, I'm in Lynn, but that's okay.
Okay.
Keith, I think you're going to really get the Toronto pressure. Do you remember when the Red Sox hadn't won in 84 years?
How I think it was 86.
Yeah, it's like that in Toronto, and it's only been 50 years. It's actually worse. I was up there in the 80s, and it was going on. It's unbelievable.
No, I understand what you're saying, Bill, but I just think the better team in the series is the Bruins.
Well, I'm not disputing that. Well, it's close. I will say
it's close after
watching them. But it's unbelievable up in Toronto. Dale's right. It's constant. I mean, it's in the middle of the summer. Even with the Red Sox in the wintertime, you forgot about it. They don't in Toronto.
Right.
Or they haven't won. And the other thing I'd like to talk about is the broadcast. Is it on NBC, SN, or whatever?
Nesson's got it tomorrow.
Both of you?
Yeah, yes. I think it's on both.
It is on both? Oh, that's good, because that means I get probably listen to Doc Emmerich instead of Jack the Whack Edwards. So thank God. And his Zambonian. Who the hell cares about the team? The guy talks constantly. Dale.
Well, he's a play-by-play guy.
Yeah, I mean,
to be fair.
It is what he does. Yeah.
No, but listen to Emmerich, who yesterday was 7 minutes of nonstop action. There were pauses in between him talking. With Jack, it would have been constant verbiage. The man cannot shut up. Dale, you're much better at it. In essence, you're dumb. I watched the pregame and the
postgame. You're just speaking the truth, Bill. That's all you're doing.
I am.
I know. I hear you.
Jack is awful. He's a homer.
Okay.
He talks about whale blubber.
Okay.
He did talk about whale blubber. I didn't really care for that. I didn't like that call.
Dale, it was good for your agent to call in.
Yeah. Gee, that doesn't put me in an uncomfortable position at all. Just go right ahead, Bill.
Hey, the caller says what the caller... We can't control what the caller say, Dale. That's what he wanted to talk about. He doesn't like Jack. What are you going to do?
The key for me is I think that the local broadcasters always know as much or more than the national broadcasters.
Yeah.
The local broadcasters who are there every single day.
They certainly
practices,
should.
Yeah, right. I mean, morning skates, in the dressing room every day. Not that, you know, the national guys don't work very hard at it and aren't really good at what they do.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that, for the most part, local is better.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. We'll go with that. It's fine. I don't know. I kind of dip back and forth between the two. I think in basketball, for example, like I think TNT does a great job. ESPN, I don't love as much. So it kind of depends on who has the game. But then also, you know, once the first round's over, you're only getting the national broadcast anyway, like for both teams. So you can watch local in the first round, and then hopefully your team's still playing for several more games.
And you can see pre- and post-game. With the locals.
All the time. We always get the local flair pre and post.
617-779-7937. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio WEEI.
Vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.